Welcome to today's episode where we speak about beauty, where we speak about makeup and being a beauty influencer. So what exactly is beauty? Confucius said, beauty is in everyone, it's a matter of somebody seeing and acknowledging it. In today's time, it says, beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder until the makeup artist comes into the picture. So who exactly are these makeup artists? He has a vision. He transforms an individual with some vulnerabilities on the beauty side and gives them confidence. He transforms them into a confident being looking into the world so that the world looks at them with a different lens altogether. In today's episode, we speak to one such female champion, a beauty blogger, and we don't just look at her social media presence to judge her personality. We speak about wellness beauty and we speak about relationships. Why is it that people feel lonely unless they are achievers in life? Do you think women today need money to earn respect from their families? We answer all this and more in today's episode. How do you define makeup? Do you have men who approach you for makeup as well?
To be honest, I've seen men buying makeup more at Sephora than women.
If you had to break a myth about being a beauty influencer, what would that be? Is it important for women to earn money to earn respect in the family?
I was completely dependent on my husband. I had to ask him, I want to buy this. Can we buy this?
Is there something called unconditional love?
No. People judge you on the basis of how much you spend.
Talk to me about postpartum depression. Were you even aware that you are going into something like this?
You haven't lost weight yet.
The color of the skin doesn't matter. The achievements you have in life matter.
Never just react on any situation immediately. Take a pause, let the time come, you'll see the results.
There are so many fashion bloggers, fashion influencers over there. What are you doing in this industry? It's so challenging as an industry.
Yes, it's a very challenging industry, and moreover, it's you're struggling, competing yourself each and every day to show the best out of you.
Yeah, true.
Every morning when you wake up, you need to inspire yourself more than anyone, because when you compete with your own self, you can achieve the best.
How did your journey start into fashion or makeup?
So I have done my master's in fashion from Mumbai, and after getting married, I moved to Dubai, and I felt that, because of lack of experience, people were not accepting me. So I thought of moving to another industry which would be more accepting, and it was a challenge and creative industry in itself. Mm-hmm. So I started with my career in beauty and makeup in 2018, and that's when
the journey began for you. So Urvi, looking at how your journey has been till now, do you think it is a very challenging industry?
Of course.
You recommend somebody entering into this industry now, or are you already late for entering the industry?
There's never too late. You can start at any point of time, and the best time I would say is right now. If they join right now, the industry, there are so many people, you won't believe, 20% of the content creators have already dropped back from the industry and their career. So now it's the companies, the brands, and even the audience, they are so involved into this, social media, that they want something new. And when creators join the industry, it's either way is going to bloom, and you're going to get that nice response as well.
So as a makeup artist slash a beauty blogger, beauty influencer,
yes,
what is the ultimate goal that you guys have on social media? Apart from 2 million followers or 20 million followers?
That's never my goal in this industry, is to reach right people.
Okay.
People who really want to get their glam done, because I personally have this, like, you know, standard, I mean, my statement look is something very natural,
mm-hmm.
very natural glam. So, like, you know, I always make sure to, like, you know, reach the right audience and deliver the right thing to them.
So, what is the right audience for you?
For me, the right audience is, like, a mid-age people. I mean, mid-age audience, like young girls, not, I would never prefer to Gen Zs, to be very honest, because their style is completely out of my, like, you know, creativity.
Okay.
But somehow, of course, I would like to learn and explore how the whole process really goes.
Okay.
But for me, the mid-age audience is current target.
This is very typecasting some audience, and I fall into the second side of the age bracket. But what is the major? Are you saying that you are looking at people between 26 to 36 or 26 to 56?
56. Yes.
26 to 56.
Yes.
Okay. So that's females only, or do
that
you have men who approach you for makeup as well?
Till now, I haven't been approached by men.
Okay.
It's always, like, you know, women who want to get glam for their party, Diwali party, Christmas party, or else for wedding.
Most girls coming from Bombay, from Mumbai, they always wanted to, they are so exposed to the Indian film industry, they always wanted to be part of that industry.
Yeah.
Because of the glam, because of the availability of resources around them.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought of entering that industry?
No.
Why?
Because to be very honest, I actually didn't have such good looks or, like, you know, very attractive face, because to be very honest, I had a lot of acne, skin issues,
mm-hmm.
and many things, like, you know, the hormonal stuffs going on. But so that was one of the reason, like, for me, the appearance was the main priority. So I thought that, you know, since I'm not that good looking, I don't really think I will even be accepted, like, you know, in this industry. So that never really hit my head, or that never came across my mind.
So since you were staying in a joint family, and were you always made conscious of your appearance? How did this low confidence on your appearance,
yes.
came into your life?
Yes.
Because of your family, because of your friends, your school?
Friends and family.
Friends and family.
Yes.
And what would your mother's reaction be to that?
She always supported me. She's like, just let it go. They don't really know. Like, once,
yeah.
when this whole period goes away, when you will be all normal, when, you know, certain teenage will go pass through, you are not going to feel the same way. They will see it at that time. Never just, like, you know, react on any situation immediately. Take a pause, let the time come, you'll see the results.
So do you think, as an Indian parent, because our actresses have,
yeah.
always been shown to be fair skin,
we
are obsessed with fair skin, even for our own children, for that matter?
Yes. I've seen that.
And because of this, there is a certain bias for people who are a little brown in color, let's say.
Or wheatish. Yeah.
Okay.
That's true.
So let's say if today you had to go back and talk to someone who made fun of you as a child when you were 6 year old or you were 7 year old, could be a relative, could be someone from the school,
yes.
or your class teacher, and you had to share a message with them, saying that the color of the skin doesn't matter, the achievements you have in life matters.
Yeah.
So I would request you to look into the camera right now directly, eye to eye, and tell that person, keep that person in your mind, and give them a message that it is okay to be not fair skinned and still be an achiever in life. The camera is all yours.
It's okay. Just be yourself, because you don't know what you're capable of, and you know that one day you're gonna make it the right way.
Is there something called unconditional love?
I would say no.
Why?
Because there's a lot of expectations with it.
Okay.
With unconditional love. And I feel personally that, you know, when you love someone completely without expecting, that's not true. It means, like, you know, you're living in a delusion.
Yeah, true.
That's not what real life is about and what reality is. So it's always like, when you love someone unconditionally, no matter what, even after 5 to 6 years or after a certain point of time, you will start expecting from that person that,
mm-hmm.
you know, main tujhe itna pyar kar rahi hu, I'm loving you so much. Why? What is
left?
Why can't you love me the same way?
Okay.
Yeah.
No. Don't you think parents' love to their children is unconditional?
irrespective of whether the child is good looking or bald or 40 those years old or 10 years old, they will still love them.
They will still love them, but there's an expectation that hum bude honge, you have to take care of
us. You have to take care of me. So there's an expectation tied to it.
There's an expectation.
And same for your kids?
It is good. See, right now, seeing everything, I will say, like, mujhe nahi chahiye kuch bhi. I'm gonna, like, once after they turn 18, I want them to step out and be independent and live their life and whatever. They get married and all the story. But at a certain point of time, I will, like, you know, when I reach that age, I'll have an expectation that, you know, you have to take care of me. Like, when you were a child, I've taken care of you since birth. I've given you that nurture, that love.
Yeah.
I've given you all that. So, in a way, I'm going to be selfish and tell them that, you know, you have to do something for me. Like, now I'm done. I can't. I don't have that, you know, energy.
And we have seen your past, your childhood, right?
Yeah.
How many years have you been in Dubai now?
It's been 10 years.
It's been 10 years?
Yes.
You got married and came to Dubai?
Yes. I did like the guy, like, the moment I saw his picture.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, there are, I'm like, you know, I'm getting those butterflies in my stomach.
I get that
vibe. I'm getting that vibe. So that's how, like, you know, I agreed and I said that, okay, I want to meet this guy, have a conversation with him and decide things.
So do you think the investment that you've done for 10 years, is it worth it? Mr. Jagga is taking care of it.
Absolutely worth it. 1000%. I would have never dreamt of, like, you know, finding a guy like this after falling in love. So this is like my parents, I would say that they've found, like, someone really
This bargain
magical.
Was worth
This
the...
was worth. This deal was worth.
This deal was worth the investment.
Yeah.
So now, Urvi, we have looked into your life from a perspective where things started on a slower note, with the confidence being a little lower. Then you get married.
Yeah.
Do you think your confidence has improved after marriage?
Yes, it has.
And what is the key reason for that?
Trusting myself, believing in myself and accepting myself. Like, I understood that if I do not accept myself, I'm going to feel more bad. And I'm not going to be confident enough to represent myself in front of public. And obviously, they're going to make fun of me. They're going to, like, you know, ignore me. And publicly, I won't be accepted. So if I start accepting myself, and that's when, like, you know, people will accept me. If I am not bothered about my looks, why should people be? This thing I realized pretty late in my life. And if this thing, I would have done it earlier during my teenage days, I would have been a different person.
Different
right
person
now.
Altogether.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me one, share me one instance where you were a little doubtful on your capabilities, that you may not be able to pull this off, and your husband was like, I'm telling you, it'll happen. Just go ahead with this.
When I was starting with my career, like the makeup career, after the birth of my two kids, I was like not feeling confident because I knew the whole concept and everything. Yeah. But when I got a client, I was like pretty much scared that, you know, how I don't think, like, you know, I've just lost my hand and I've lost the touches. So I don't think I can do it. So he was like, it's okay, just go, do it. It's okay if you take time, but just go and do it. I know you're pretty much, like, you know, when you'll stay there, when you'll see the client, you are going to do it. So that was, like, you know, at the very beginning, I got the confidence that when I didn't believe in myself, he supported me in a way.
I believe so passionately now, between your mom and dad, you've always been a very pampered child.
Yes.
And everything you wanted, you got it in double.
Yeah.
So if you wanted one iPad, you got two of them. If you wanted one puppy, you got two of them. You've always been fed with a silver spoon. And your husband converted that silver spoon to a golden spoon.
Yes.
Right? So you've always been a spoiled child.
Always. But I have struggled, like, you know, from being pampered to gain what I really want. So all my like young age, I would say my parents always pampered me, like, you know, you want to buy this, you buy this, so whatever it was. But once after I got married, I realized that, you know, it's not my dad. Like, even if I want to buy something, and since I wasn't that independent, I was completely dependent on my husband, I had to ask him that, you know, I want to buy this, can we buy this? And he was like, no. And you know, getting that negative response was like a shock for me, because I was not ready for this. I wasn't ready for it.
Yeah.
And then like when I started getting a lot of no, I was like, no, this is not happening. Like I was zid pakad ke baithi ki nahi, no matter what, I'm gonna like, you know, do something. I need my own money. I need to spend, because I have never even looked at a price tag while shopping. I've just added things to the cart and gone for shopping. And then like now when I like, you know, shop, I see that, you know, is this really worth, should I really, I get these questions. I ask myself questions,
yeah,
that, you know, do I really need to buy this? Do I really need to like, you know, invest in this right now?
Is it important for women to earn money, to earn respect in the family?
See, what I feel is there's a very bad thought or like, you know, image of a married woman, that if you're going out, you need to earn.
Yeah.
And when you're earning, you also need to look after the house or your kids or your family. But if a certain person, she like, you know, someday is super tired from work and she just refuses or denies that, you know, I just want to lay back. I just want to relax. I don't want to do any of the house chores because I've already done a lot of things outside.
Yeah.
She's not respected. She's been like, you know, degraded. She's been told that, you know, you're not,
she's been bad mom.
Doing, yeah, you're a bad mom, or else, you know, you're not fulfilling the needs.
For instance, let's say you are a beauty influencer,
right?
People are, your life is always in front of the camera, in front of the people. Now imagine a 12-year-old child who's not too confident, now facing the camera every day and managing two kids and managing a husband, a joint family and the kitchen and her own professional career as well.
Yeah.
In all these compartments that you're managing your life in, do you think you as a person is getting lost?
Absolutely.
And what do you do to find peace for yourself? How do you rediscover yourself?
Go offline, meditate, and spend more time with my kids.
When you're looking at a diamond, where does a diamond come from? From a coal mine. So right now there is a layer around you which will get removed as and when your knowledge increases. When your knowledge will increase, when you go to the school, you learn new things, people will start appreciating your knowledge and the color of the skin would never matter. And I think Dubai is the place for inclusivity. It is a place
it
where
is.
You find so many nationalities,
yeah,
where the color, caste, creed, religion, all these things don't matter.
Yeah.
So, and it goes right from the home to it coming towards
to,
the school and
right,
then to universities as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah.
So Dubai, I believe, is a very poignant place because this is the place for all kind of opportunities right now.
More than that, I feel people go like more on appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And how many brands you own.
Yeah.
To be honest, like I've socialized in my own industry and people judge you on the basis of how much you spend
yeah,
in a month. Like
yeah,
buying brands or wearing brands or visiting restaurants in that
yeah,
way.
True.
Even though they'll take a loan
yeah,
to spend.
People take loans on their credit card to
yeah,
spend to
yeah,
earn respect.
To earn respect. Which is really
wrong. And what do
wrong,
they do with this respect?
Nothing.
Nothing.
It's
right,
just temporary.
Yeah.
Outdoors. Indoors,
yeah,
when you're inside your house and the doors are shut.
Yeah.
No, nobody's there to see like what
yeah,
you're doing in closed doors.
How do you define makeup for someone?
For me, it's just hiding minor flaws and
okay,
just looking the way you are, but a filtered version. Not a complete, like, you know, the Instagram or Snapchat filters, but a filtered version of yourself where you feel confident in presenting yourself in front of people.
Very good definition, actually, to be honest.
Yeah.
And should men do makeup?
Yeah, it's pretty much normal.
It's
okay,
pretty much normal. Have
yeah,
you seen men in your parties and after parties come with makeup over there?
Yeah, they do. They do apply a little bit of concealer. See, everyone
okay,
has under eye circles and
okay,
darkness and pigmentation. Just like women, even men go through hormonal changes. So
true,
they do have acne, scars and marks and everything. Even they get pigmented. So they do apply a little bit of concealer. And to be honest, I've seen men applying makeup and buying makeup more at Sephora than women.
Wow, this is news to me.
Yeah. So whenever I go shopping at Sephora, I've seen men buying blush. I've seen men buying highlighter. Wow. They take care of their skin more than women. They do all the skincare routine and everything, step by step.
No, so what's an ideal skincare routine?
It's a basic cleansing, toning, moisturizing, and your SPF. That's a day routine. And for night, you can just add your treatments.
So there's a different day routine. And
yeah, there's a different day routine and different night routine.
Does requirements for a makeup for an individual, man or woman, it changes with age? Like 20-year-old have a different requirement, 30 different, 40 different, 50 different?
Yes.
And what is the change?
So the change is with the treatment serums that are available right now in the market. Like if you're a teenager.
A treatment serum. Tell me more about this thing.
So there are different types of serums available right now. You get the vitamin C serum, you get glycolic acid serum, salicylic acid serum, you get vitamin D3 serum, hyaluronic acid serum, you get retinol serum, and many more in the list.
So, if you ever see me say all these words in a single line and there is salad in front on my table, assume I have been kidnapped. Because I cannot say these words in a single line. Can you just repeat them slowly so that I can just at least make a note of them and Google them later?
I'll prepare a complete skincare routine for you.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Now tell me more. You have all these serums with fancy names. What do you do with these serums?
So if you're like, you know, 20 to 30 and that's like pretty much basic. You need more hydration. And if you're having like a lot of water, it's pretty much fine. You will like, you know, your skin will look more glowy, fresh and hydrated. Mm-hmm. The only thing you need at that point of time is a vitamin C. If in case you have a pigmentation, so you can use a vitamin C, a hyaluronic acid to give your skin an extra hydration, and a sunscreen, and you're done.
And this is in the 20s?
The 20s to 30s. Now, right after 30s, you will see that, you know, you get those fine lines, you get those wrinkles, and slightly, like, you know, your pores are increasing and everything. So, the best serum to use at that age is hyaluronic acid to give your skin... Hyaluronic acid.
Hyaluronic acid. I can say this. Hyaluronic acid, right?
Yes, perfect. That's correct.
Yeah.
So that's like good for hydration. And then is retinol, which actually helps with, like, you know, decreasing the fine lines and pores. And then there is niacinamide, which actually helps with, like, you know, minimizing the pores. So these are like the best during 30s.
You sound like a scientist to me right now.
I've learned this.
So
I've
you learned, did some course, some study?
No. I've learned, like, you know, seeing, like, going to a dermatologist, but when I actually had, like, you know, acne and all sorts of different issues with my skin. So I actually visited a dermatologist and then they explained that, you know.
And then you started discovering more, learning more.
And then seeing, like, you know, all these inventions, mainly on social media, you see, like, you know, you're scrolling Instagram and you see, like, there's a new acid being developed and created. So you start learning about it. I Google it, like, you know, what it does, how is it helpful, how, what does it treat. So that's how, like, I increase my knowledge on certain.
So just like age impacts makeup routines, does lifestyle also have a very important impact on makeup?
Yeah, it does. Like, see, when you know, you mainly there's a lot of difference just with the sunscreen. Okay. You need a higher UV rays sunscreen to be applied on your skin to protect the barrier, skin barrier. And when you are, like, you know, outdoors, when you know you're a sports person or an athlete who's going to be exposed to the heavy UVB and UVA rays, you need to apply a higher frequency SPF so that you protect your skin barrier. And at night, I really feel that, you know, you need the active serum and active acid ingredient lotions or, like, you know, creams to be applied to recover all the damage caused. For me, like, if your skin, if you're treating your skin internally well, externally you don't really need to apply a lot of makeup.
Very good point you made. If you are stressed in your job, if you are chasing deadlines, does it show on your skin?
Of course.
How
the
does
stress is
how
seen.
Does stress show on your skin?
Wrinkles, dryness,
Irrespective of the age.
Irrespective of the age. It doesn't really matter.
Okay. So do you think people only working outside, females specifically working outside, are stressed, or homemakers are equally stressed?
Homemakers are equally stressed.
What is the stress about? Mother-in-laws?
Not mother-in-laws. It's about handling the whole house, arranging it, keeping it clean, tidy. I feel the homemakers have a lot of OCD than the women who work outside.
Share me an example.
So the homemakers, they are very much, they know they have their duty to, like, you know, take care of the house, keep it neat, tidy and clean. Now for her, her regular routine is to keep the house tidy.
Yeah.
Now when the kids or someone comes home, her, maybe it would be a husband, when they come home, they throw around things. They immediately
so
feel.
So I do not agree to this thing that the husband throw around things, because I do not do that.
They do.
Which my wife would not agree to. Or we, while we have looked at your life from a lens where you've been very spoiled, or you've been very pampered, you've been like kept in a cotton ball and taken care of, where are the places where you felt really vulnerable in your life that I have broken inside and I want to talk to someone with some inspiration?
So that was right after my both the childbirths. They were pretty much soon and, like, you know, closer to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I never had a time to recover mentally, to be honest with that, like those sleepless nights and the postpartum depression.
Yeah.
I didn't have in-depth knowledge. I knew there was something like going wrong with me and with my body. I wasn't ready to accept it. And when I was like trying to speak to someone, nobody had an answer or an explanation. Mm. So when I spoke to my mom, she said that, you know, it's pretty much normal. It will pass over time and it's gonna go. But it didn't. I literally felt that it didn't. And then I used to start listening to like, you know, inspiring podcasts, or else I would start with my meditation. That's when I felt that, you know, I guess I need to take some time out for myself. Even though it's 30 minutes in a day, just meditate, just be in my own complete zone without any disturbance. And then I started creating content where I knew that, you know, this is my own time. I'm gonna share this whole space with myself, doing what I love, and I'm gonna forget about all the issues or whatever the negativity is there lying around.
People do not talk about depression very openly. Yeah. Right now, there's still been movement with a lot of celebs coming out and saying that, okay, there is something called depression.
Depression.
And it should be looked at with a different light and it should not be talked down upon.
Yeah.
Talk to me about postpartum depression, because a lot of women still believe, oh, you are a mother, you are supposed to not go through this cycle at all. So what is this cycle and how did... So you already told us how you came out of it. How did you feel when you were entering? Were you even aware that you are going into something like this?
I wasn't aware, to be very honest. I had no idea that, you know, it is called postpartum depression, because I was like, you know, it's because I'm not having a good sleep. I'm not able to, like, you know, nurture myself or feed myself a healthy lifestyle. Or, you know, I was getting the FOMO of not going out, not, like, you know, socializing with people, not being able to wear or fit in the clothes that I always wanted to, or what I, like, you know, used to wear. So over time, when I started, like, you know, scrolling, and social media was a place which literally, like, took me a very much into a deep depression, because I don't fit in, like, I don't look like this, like the way I used to look before. Yeah. And moreover, I feel the way people make you feel after, like, you know, childbirth.
Yeah.
It's okay, when the baby sleeps, you go off to sleep. It is not true. Like, you have other, like, you know, stuffs to do after the baby sleeps.
Yeah.
And then when you have back-to-back kids, you have to take care of a young toddler as well as the other
the elder
baby.
One as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel nobody is there to actually help you with the whole process, because they themselves do not realize that they've been through this.
You are into this. So when you were going through this postpartum depression, did it also bring back the same memories as a child, when you were ignored by your own family members or your classmates, or you were made fun of at that time, and the same things came back and you're like, oh shit, this is back again?
Yes, it did. Like when people like, you know, started saying that, oh, you haven't lost weight yet. We lost like, you know, immediately 3 months after our baby was born. We started with the workout and gym and everything. So that in a way did bring the old memories.
So this is something which I've realized that in a global place like ours, when you tell a problem to somebody, instead of telling you a solution or acknowledging that yes, there is a problem, you will find a way out of this, people start telling you their own problems, which are, and they try to show those problems are bigger than your problems. So which meant postpartum depression is never a problem, because the time we are talking about right now, I think it is closer to the COVID times as well, right?
Yeah.
So you are in a depressing mood or in a zone where you feel challenged and you don't feel acknowledged by the people who are supposed to love you.
Yeah.
And then you are in a COVID situation where you are stuck with them in the same house and you can't step out.
You can't step out.
So how did you take care of this apart from meditation during the COVID times?
So all I did was I spent the most connecting time with my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So I know she was a very small baby. I only thing I could do is like, you know, talk to her about my feelings. The reason why I have more connection with her is because I've always shared my emotions, my feelings and my day with her, like how my day really goes. And I've connected with her in a very deep level so that, you know, whenever I'm low or I'm happy or however I feel, I just make sure that, you know, I have a conversation with her like, as a best friend.
So after this incident and your journey, your whole journey after giving two kids in the middle of, in let's say, two kids
2020 and 2021.
In a span of just 2 years, you had two kids to take care of.
Yeah.
And now when you go and meet someone like with baby pink cheeks, as you mentioned, right? What do you tell to their moms?
To be honest, I've told her as well that, you know, just don't worry. Whenever you feel that you need your time, give me the baby. I'll take care of her. And you just take your own time. Just relax. Yeah. Even though, you know, you're not doing anything, just take your time to recover.
Yeah.
And just make sure that, you know, you're mentally very much stable and calm when you are with the baby. If the baby is fussy, the baby is not like, you know, doing things, or it's irritating you or crying or like for a couple of hours, give me the baby, I'll handle it. You just take your time. Do not like, you know, pressurize yourself that, you know, I'm the mom, so I'm supposed to take most care of my baby.
Yeah.
And this is something that I didn't get most during my time. So I feel that whatever I've suffered and been through, I make sure that I try my best to not pass it
on. The other person should not go through the same thing.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Do you think women, mothers specifically, have an issue? Issue giving their child to someone to take care of? They are always so attached that they don't want somebody else to take care of. They're so possessive about their own kids.
Yeah. I was with my first like child, but once after the second baby was born, it was getting really tough. So I was like, I need to loosen up a bit and make sure that, you know, because you know what it really happens, then the child finds their own comfort as well.
Yeah.
Then they do not feel comfortable with someone else. Like even in your absence, the child will not like, you know, go or get along with someone and be free with them. So it's better like to maintain a distance, give them their own space, like, you know, with other members as well.
And do you think there was something which your husband could have done differently at that time when you were going through this phase?
To understand, like, you know, why am I getting angry unnecessarily?
Why are you agitated for no reason? He could be going through his own struggle at that time. And then you're going through your own mood swings, your own challenges at that time.
Yeah.
Do you think your husband could have done something different for you at that time?
I don't think, like, he's equally shared, like, you know, sleepless night. Like, we actually had our turns, like, to feed the baby when the baby is awake. But I really feel that, you know, when I used to get angry unnecessarily, when I used to frustrate or even cry at certain point without any reason, I think he should have understood and reacted in a better way, like rather than being like, you know, it's okay, you can't just get these mood swings back and forth
every day.
Every day.
I'm guilty of the same, to be honest, and this is something which my wife never spoke to me about.
Yeah.
So I never knew till yesterday, let's say, that what are the mood swings she's having and what is the reason, because the traditional thought of being a man is You go out, you earn food, you come back,
yeah,
and then your mother is the only one talking to your wife,
to
who
your
tells
wife.
her, okay, everything is okay, we have done this, you can do the same.
Yeah,
it is a phase, it will pass by.
It will pass by.
But that's not the reality anymore.
I feel there should be, like, you know, a wider knowledge shared on a platform where, like, you know, women who are even hesitant to speak about these difficulties, they should get a knowledge. Because see, to be honest and very much fair, my mom never got that kind of a knowledge, in-depth knowledge about these situations. She which is why she even said that, you know, it's okay, it's just a phase of 2 to 3 months, it will just go by, you'll be normal. But no, that is not normal. Those 3 months were like a nightmare, which I never. And those 3 months came back again in a very short period of time. So it was like a crazy, like, you know, ride for me. I never experienced anything like, you know, deep dark like that.
What are the top trends you think of 2025 which are coming in the makeup industry?
More of skincare gadgets, more of DIY, like, you know, skincare
routines,
and more of Korean skincare being promoted. Then
is it because of the K-dramas?
The K-dramas, and more importantly, because their skin is naturally, like, you know, so good, healthy, and flawless.
When you're looking at so many routines going around, so much kind of, there is an awareness which has started now recently.
Yeah.
In terms of cruelty-free testing, in terms of sustainable packaging, in terms of trying wearable gadgets as well, beauty gadgets, to be honest, like earrings which can tell you about the quality of the skin, how much water you need to consume, what are the kind of serums, there are tests for that as well. Do you think this is overburdening the real power of being a makeup artist by all these gadgets being available?
At a point, I feel that people don't need a real human. They can work a lot of things by themselves with the help of these gadgets.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a way, it's good, and it has, like, its own cons as well. Like, pros and cons, they just work simultaneously. And the way you keep up with the main thing is, when you keep up with the trend, people don't really need the gadgets. They can trust you in real life, and they can just believe that, you know, whatever you're doing is right.
If you had to break a myth about being a beauty influencer, what would that be?
So in this industry, as the amount of experience that I have, I feel the brands and a lot of people believe the higher the number you have, the higher the quality you get.
The number of followers.
Followers.
And the number of views.
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't believe in numbers.
Don't believe. Believe in the kind of quality content.
Yeah.
The kind of content a creator is providing.
Yeah.
It could
believe
be
in the value, not the numbers.
Yes.
So when you are so confident inside, whom do you look forward to as an inspiration every day?
I follow this person, like, on social media, Glamzilla. She's a really, really good beauty influencer from Canada.
Okay.
She weighed like more than 200 pounds, and right now she's on a weight loss journey. And I feel the way she has influenced people, like, right today, if I have to, like, you know, look at someone to, like, you know, buy any sort of beauty product, or be like, you know, look at someone for, like, an unfiltered beauty review, it has to be her. Because whenever she speaks, like, she, even though she was so heavyweight and she was so fat, she's always, like, never been never said it on camera that, you know, I don't feel confident about myself. Even with that amount of weight and being bullied online, especially on social media, the thing that inspires me from her is that, you know, believe in yourself, stay confident in front of camera, because even your followers cannot do anything to you. If you are confident in yourself, because you will have a group of people.
So imagine for a second that she is watching this episode right now as we see. Okay.
Yeah.
And you had a chance, a 60 second reel to share with her as a content creator, saying that, okay, what is it that she inspired in you, and what she should continue to do more, And what would you like to say to her to maybe watch the episode till the end?
You have actually inspired me to stay confident even on my low days. You've always made sure that, you know, you deliver a message where I actually need to connect with people and with my audience in a right way rather than, like, you know, just showing the good side of myself. I've never showed like the bad side of myself or my day in life, but following you and being inspired by you to just deliver the right unfiltered version of myself is the best, like, you know, lesson I've learned from you. And I would be so grateful if you can watch this episode and just drop a hi on my DM. That would mean a lot to me.
So I hope she watches the episode as well, and then she responds to this message on as a comment. And blesses you with a special blessing or a special video, giving a shout out to you. Yes. And if she has to find you on Instagram, what's your Instagram ID?
So my Instagram ID is Urvi Chakda, a beauty influencer and a makeup artist.
So if, for instance, you mentioned about Glamzilla,
yeah,
and you said that you look for her for inspiration.
Yeah. Okay.
In a world of collaborators and competitors, which side are you on? Are you happy collaborating with other people, or do you prefer just competing?
No, I prefer collaborating. It's okay. Better than competing, because when I see it in a way that when I'm competing with people, I'm not going to be happy with even the good quality work that I provide to the audience. So if I am collaborating, in a way I'm learning. In a way, I'm even exploring new opportunities, and in that way, I even, like, you know, try to fix my flaws.
Okay.
So that's the only reason I feel that, you know, I need to collaborate with people more than competing with the good
people. So if you had to collaborate with three people in Dubai, who would those people be?
One would be the brand itself, like Huda Khatan. The second one would be Yara. She's from Abu Dhabi. Another one is Anastasia. She is from Russia, based in Dubai.
There's a lot which is being said about AI. For instance, one of my friends, I just saw a reel where she said, take a picture of yourself, put it on ChatGPT, advise it the type of skin type that you have, oily or dry, and she would share a skincare routine with you.
Yeah.
Right? With so much technology and so much information being available, why would a client still be involved with someone like you going forward?
Because that's still a technology. It's an AI. It's not a real human.
Yeah.
So an AI, if you tell them that, you know, the skincare is not working for me, suggest me another one, it will stop it because it has a restricted information.
Okay.
So when they are having a conversation about a certain concern or an issue with a real human, you can make an alterations and you can explain how things can work out. So that's how I feel that, you know, people should not trust technology in that way. Of course, the technology like ChatGPT and many other AI generated apps are very much helpful in a sense that, you know, they help creators diversify with the content ideas, but with certain things you really need to restrict yourself and see a physical person to get more in-depth knowledge and information.
How important it is for a person to trust their makeup artist?
100%.
So if, let's say, I trust 90% and I believe you may do the work, you may not do the work, do you think that impacts your work in terms of how does it impact?
So when you gain confidence on a person, like the person on whom I'm doing makeup, when they tell me that, you know, I trust you with whatever you do, I have no doubts, like, you know, but I just want these pinpoints, they'll say that, you know, these things I want to make sure are there while you're doing, I'll be like, okay, I'll follow my routine and process and everything. When they see the end result, they are more than happy and satisfied.
Yeah.
Someone who just trusts you, I would say 50 to 70%, they will not be happy even though you've given your 2000%. They will never be happy. They'll always say that you could have done it.
You could have done this part extra.
Yes, you could have done it. And then there are even people who say that, you know, you're charging so much, so apply that much amount of product, which is not necessary.
Yeah.
which is not necessary.
I understood your point.
The whole bottle on you because you're paying for
it. So what do you find more challenging as an entrepreneur? You're into your entrepreneurship journey as well.
Yes.
Is it difficult to find clients or is it difficult to get payments on time from them?
At this point, I would say it, getting clients and working with good clients is the difficult part.
How would you define a good client?
Someone who is like, you know, giving, showing a good gesture when you're arriving, like not treating you as someone who's like, you know, appointed to do work for them, just treating in a good way,
more human way,
being very kind. Mm-hmm. That's more important.
That goes a longer way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that builds a relationship and a long-term relationship. Because I feel when a client gives like, you know, even 30 to 40% extra from their side, I'm ready to give them 200% extra in return.
True. Yeah. True. The value of the discussion or the value of any conversation or a makeup discussion with somebody is to know the requirement better, to know their emotions better, what they go through, and how you can add value to that discussion. How do you get these clients? Is it only by reference right now, or do you use some platform or social networking events for this?
Right now I'm getting it through reference.
Okay.
So I've done like, you know, collabs with people, with many great creators like who are very well known in UAE. Mm-hmm. So it's through them. Then partly is through like, you know, the family relation and through like, you know, going at these beauty events. So via through referral it's working right now.
Who's your most favorite male makeup artist?
Male makeup artist, it would be Makeup by Mario and Hindash.
If there was a movie which was being made on your life in Bollywood, Karan Johar directing it, Shah Rukh Khan as your opposite lead, who would be that actress portraying your character?
Alia Bhatt.
Okay.
Because I feel she has a lot of like, you know, really nice acting, the way she like, you know, acts and the way she represents a role. I feel, you know, she's very like bubbly kind of.
And you are a very bubbly kind of thing.
I am. But right now I'm like, you know, very well polite
balanced.
And well balanced. But I feel Alia will be able to do it really well.
What are the things that make you angry?
When things don't work out the way I plan them, and when like, you know, someone tries to betray me, and when they like, you know, just keep on repeating, like when I say a no, it is a no, and I don't want to like, you know, have a conversation about it.
How important is it for you to balance life, emotions, exercise, meditation for your career as a content creator / beauty influencer?
When you're handling multiple profession, it gets really difficult, and you know, there are a lot of wires being juggled around in your brain. You don't really understand where exactly. If I'm trying to be the best content creator, I won't be able to focus on my kids and my makeup profession. If I'm the best with certain thing, it's going to be really difficult to handle. So what happens with meditation, I get a clearance. I get a clear idea about time management. I get to know that, you know, okay, this is something that I need to focus on right now. It's okay to be slow. It's okay to be like, you know, take one step at a time and move gradually. Yeah. So that's something that has undisciplined moreover.
I wanted to close your eyes and think about your future in 5 years from now, while we try to create a picture out of your future as well.
Okay.
So, Urvi, we looked into your future and we thought this is something what your future will be hold. So please feel free to open this and show it to the audience what we think could be your future. This is a dream. This is something which we manifest for you.
Oh, okay.
And we hope this comes true sometime soon.
Oh, wow. This is one of my dream, definitely.
So we believe, Urvi, when the world manifests for you, things come faster to you. And I definitely believe in manifestation. And we at all sitting in this room right now, in the studio right now, we all believe that there is going to be a day before 2030 where this reality of you being a true beauty inside and outside is going to find a packaging which is eco-friendly, is going to find a beauty range as well.
Yeah.
So tell us about this dream of yours.
So ever since I got into this industry, I actually had this, like, you know, as Huda has always been my inspiration, and I've seen the way, like, you know, the message and the intention that she wanted to spread to the world and the knowledge that she wanted to say. It's like I have a image of my brand where I see the women who are not so confident.
Yeah.
So the only message I want is using the beauty and the skincare, you're going to feel confident. The skincare is going to help you get that flawless skin, and the beauty is going to make sure that, you know, you don't need a lot of beauty products to be applied to achieve that really gorgeous, and it just makes you feel yourself.
So beauty at the end of the day, what we have discovered today, is not related to a gender. Beauty is not related to what products you are using. Beauty is all about the conversations you are having with the people. It is all about the confidence you take into any meeting you enter, or any kindness or any good gesture you show to someone who is getting coffee for you. With this, we come towards the end of today's episode. We hope you had a great, valuable time listening to this podcast. Thank you.